1-800-332-970. I don't even know what to ask a remote. I was talking to Sarah during the break, and I just continually want to, like, all I want to know is, like, if you were a remote, wouldn't you just, if you got to be, I think it's like when you become one of the Knights Templar, they take you into a room and you kneel and they put a sword on your, all you ready to join the Order of the Ramones. And if I would, you know, when you get the ID like this, you are hereby a remote. I would just sit and stare at that all day. I would open my wallet all day. I would take out my ID and it would Ricky Ramone. I'd be like, yeah. And that's all I would do. I wouldn't even leave the house. I would just call people. I would just look up my own name in the phone book over and over again. You just so I could see Ricky Ramone. That's all I'd do. And I would look in the mirror and go, I am a Ramone. And I'd call people at random that I didn't even know and just say, I'm a Ramone. And you are not. And I forgot to get the bullhorn again. Marky Ramone. Who, I mean, drummed on, you know, some of the all-time great Ramones albums. He was on End of the Century. He was on the Road to Ruin. I mean, he's got Marky Ramone and the Intruders, and they're going to be playing Dante's on June 14th, and you can find out more at dantesLive.com. Anyway, so we're going to be talking to him here in just a few. So I should probably just go ahead and give you this now, actually. If you got a question for Marky Ramone, it's 503-733-2970. You've got to keep that in mind. We'll be talking to him in a few. In the meantime, in between time, let's go to your personal savior, Tim Riley. He's at the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the Koi Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. A 23-year-old Sweet Home man has been jailed after claiming to be loaded with dynamite he was ready to detonate. He also said he wanted to kill himself. After a two-hour stand-up, Eric LaFon was persuaded to give up and that his life was worth living. Northwest senators were divided among party lines today as the Senate rejected that constitutional amendment to gay marriage. Who was for it? Senator Gordon Smith of Oregon was, Larry Craig, and Mike Crapo of Idaho.
Sorry?
Senator Crapo of Idaho was also for them.
Behold my shock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. However, Ron Wyden of Oregon and Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell of Washington State opposed it. That's that. Now, how could this possibly be right? Sungkoo Kim will get 10 years in jail for stealing women's underwear. However, a Tiger man who shot a guy to death only gets 8 years.
Well, it's part of a... I don't know why. It's part of the Portland Zoo catch and release program, apparently. And Sungkoo Kim, by the way, we love talking about because it gives us
his
an excuse.
Mom was in tears on TV last night.
Sungkoo Kim! You disgrace whole family. We just love him because he gives us the opportunity to use the phrase panty bandit. Thank you.
And by the way, he began stealing women's underwear at the age of 17 and collected 3,400 pairs, so you have to give it to him.
Well, at least he's devoted. This guy has got follow through. You know what I mean? He didn't just steal a few pairs of panties, then move. He's not a fair weather panty thief. That guy picked a goal, he stuck with it, and he followed through. He had what we call in America stick-to-itiveness. So there you go.
There should be more of it.
But there is more of it. Isn't there? Isn't he like the fourth guy that we've heard from this part of the country that had a purloined panty connection?
Yeah, but he's the real thing.
He's the original. Everybody else.
I mean, when you think of Panty Bandit in Oregon, who do you think of?
Everybody.
Everybody else is just an also-ran.
Everybody else is just a Bobby V to his Buddy Holly. All right. That's a little joke for the kissing audience there, if you're listening.
Meanwhile, President Bush came to Omaha today to talk about serious immigration reform and injected a little humor into his speech.
If I'd only delayed my trip, we'd have been able to watch the College World Series again.
I feel so much closer to him as a person. I feel like George Bush understands me, my needs, my concerns, and that he is someone I would like to have a beer with.
Uh-huh. Meanwhile,
sorry. Sorry.
Yeah.
Move along. I'm just staring at the phone waiting for Marky Ramone to call.
Tell me to call him. It's been 4 minutes.
I'm short-timing it. All right, well, hold on.
Should we hear from David Lee Roth?
Do I have any choice?
Yes.
I didn't think you could hear David Lee Roth anywhere anymore.
Well, if he had a promotion like ours across the Brooklyn Bridge, perhaps he'd still be there.
He was able to do, yeah.
If he used a little inventiveness instead of complaining about his misfortunes.
He'd just pull himself up by his own bootstraps.
Well, he says there's only one person holding up the reunion with Van Halen.
Oh, God.
Paging Eddie Van Winkle. I think he's the only one of the camp who's still kind of resistant to the idea. Who knows what's going on with it?
He's so bitter.
And he's so sad. You all know, and if you didn't know, if you saw Bigger Than Jesus, that made it critical. I love David Lee Roth. I really do. And everybody I know picked David Lee Roth's side in the big Halen-Roth split up that happened in whatever, 84, 85, something like that. But God damn, man, just give it up. He's like 105 years. Eddie Van Halen is missing a hip and most of his tongue. What is it? It's not going to happen. My friend Jesse saw Van Halen a while back, and it was right after. I mean, I don't think they can give you an artificial tongue. I think when they take your tongue away, don't smoke, kids, because I think when they take your tongue away, that's it. There's no, I mean, it's not like they can take butt skin and make it a tongue. You know what I mean? And so, with the last time they were here, Jesse went to see Eddie Van Halen, and it was a lot of, you know, like, you know, it's a whole lot of John Merrick with a guitar. You don't want any part of that. So, you know, just David, just go home and lick your wounds and quit playing that goddamn bluegrass music that you've been playing. Have you heard that?
No, who wants to hear that?
Well, because we're like way late with it. Like all the other zany radio shows played it like a month ago, so I'm just not going to bother. But apparently there's some album out, and it's called like Van something or other. But it's like those same guys, the Hayseed Dixie guys, that did all the bluegrass AC/DC, and it's... I think, I'm just speaking for myself now, I believe that we are now leaving that tunnel. We are now leaving the tunnel of the... This is hilarious because it's one kind of music done in a stunningly different genre. You know what I mean? It's like, unless you're really doing something creative, like, unless you are, like, Storm in the Balls, like, those guys do their own, they have their own kind of thing on it. But, I mean, just the idea that I'm just going to go pick up the record now because it's like a Motley Crue song played on the accordion. I think we have moved on from that era.
Are we supposed to be calling the Ramones right
and
now?
And so David Lee Roth singing bluegrass, I suppose we should. We should be getting Marky Ramone on the phone.
Meanwhile, David Lee Roth admits he's not exactly on speaking terms with ex-bandmate Eddie Van Halen.
I'm sorry, that's...
Well, define talking.
Is that it?
That's it, yes.
Wait, hold on. Let me hold on.
Well, define talking.
All right, there you go. Eddie Van Halen.
He's still laughing at himself.
Missing most of his tongue and one of his hips. All right, so there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do a couple more here while Sarah is getting a hold of... While Sarah's getting a hold of Marky Ramone, which is fantastic, by the way. And people ask Marky Ramone because, you know, the Ramones were sort of a boot camp at a certain point where they had like 900 guys cycling through. Because Tommy Ramone was the guy who was the original member, and he was the producer. And then at a certain point, Tommy Ramone quit to start producing all the records. And it was with Road to Ruin that Marky stepped in and started drumming for those guys. And I mean, he was there. I mean, he was there when they were produced with Phil Spector. He was there when they did that whole end of the century, that whole era that's been documented so well in that end of the century movie. And are they bumping?
Uh-oh.
We can bump.
Is he on a tour bus somewhere?
Wake him up. He's Ramone. He's gay. He's got to be a damn game day player. I fear the worst.
I don't think they know who they're talking to.
Don't you know who you're dealing with?
That would be perfect.
Apparently they haven't been watching television.
Let me give you our phone number.
Don't you understand?
Okay.
All right, I mean, here, Sarah. See, this is why Sarah makes the large dollars here. She has to have difficult phone conversations. The best part is how they're clearly pretending that it's our mistake. And hold on. Listening to Sarah talking to Marky's people.
To Rick Emerson? Mm. Is he playing?
I'm sorry?
Where is he playing in Portland?
He's playing at Dante's on June 14th.
He's playing at Jonathan's on...
His own people don't even know.
They have no clue. Where is Portland?
Of Portland, Oregon. The one on the West Coast.
It's the city that's in...
Okay, what was that?
That was weird.
What was that
I don't
all
know.
About?
It was some chick with the, some weird accent. Was the phone. She said that she thought the interview was tomorrow.
I swear to God, it's... Oh, now
oh,
see,
they probably outsourced that to India.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure the interview was today.
Well, yeah, because I remember you tried for Thursday, and then it turned into Wednesday.
Yeah. I forwarded you an email about it, too. I'm pretty
yeah,
sure
you forwarded,
that... Yeah,
yeah,
it is
no,
Wednesday.
No, I have the email right
all right,
here.
It is Wednesday.
Wednesday.
All right. All right. It's not me.
So he's going to call back. Initially, she said 20 minutes.
Well, are we going to do it today, or is it going to be tomorrow?
Today.
So is he preparing?
I guess so.
I mean, I'm not trying to drill you about it, but what was their excuse? Was there an excuse that he was
like
just not there?
Well, it sounded like he's doing
a bunch of these. They're going to throw him into a cold shower.
Oh, I see. So this is one of those...
Yeah, because she asked, like, what show
is
he
playing? Oh, I see. This is one of those, like, we're interviewed nine of, like, 40 that he's doing today.
Yeah, it's a fill-in-the-blank type of thing.
All right, okay. This is where he just...
So that takes the pressure off a little bit.
Okay, so I don't actually have to be good. All right, well, there you go.
No, no.
Well...
Ask him if he's ever potty-trained a child in one day.
Seriously. All right. Well, thanks. There you go. Please resist the temptation to call in and pretend that you are Marky Ramone. Please do not. So he's calling back at what, like 2:30?
Like 2:30, 2:35.
All right. Yeah. Okay. It's five. Well, let's do a couple more of these. We'll do the Rickles tickets, then we'll break, and we might try to squeeze in the top five before he calls.
Okay.
Because here's what we got to get done. We got to get the Rickles tickets done, and we got to get. And can I just be honest? Can we drop this facade? Can we drop this charade that I'm currently engaged in? I don't have the top five done. I was only able to get it down to nine. That's it, man. I couldn't cut it any further. I'm no longer cutting fat. I'm down to the bone, baby.
Well, we can do it some other
day. Spread it over four different days. So, let's do a couple more stories. Then we'll do Rickles tickets. Don't call yet. Then we will break. Come back. I'll try to get this Ramones top five done. I was going to try to do this sort of participatory top five, where I was going to have him actually, try to have the top five while Marky was on the phone with us. Because I thought that might be an interesting sort of thing. I was going to do the top five as he was here, so I could say, Marky, here's number four. Tell me your thoughts on this song. But, it's just...
Oh, like a VH1 special?
No, but then you run the risk of him just going, I don't know, I don't remember any of it. Because he was out of commission for a while because he had a rather extensive substance abuse problem, which I know surprises everybody. So I thought that might be awkward because I heard, who was it that it was, it was Don Geronimo, Don and Mike did that, where they had Brian Wilson on. And you got to see that coming. Where they had Brian Wilson on, and Don was like playing some of his favorite Beach Boy songs, and he kept saying, "So, Brian, here's Endless Summer, my all summer long, my favorite Beach Boy. Tell me what your memories about recording this." Brian Wilson has no memories. He has no memories. He has no thoughts. He has only a constant weird humming in his head and the sound of clowns. That's it. And occasionally he barks like a dog for no reason, and he drools. There were no thoughts that Brian Wilson was able to share on his own recordings, and I would like to avoid any similar awkwardness with Marky Ramone. So let's do one more, then we'll do the Rickles tickets, then we'll break.
Well, a woman eating at a Burger King restaurant in the Netherlands found a live frog in her salad. What's happened is one of our guests found a live frog in her salad, said the Burger King spokesman. The Dutch newspaper, the Elmamine Dagblad, quoted the customer as saying it was a big black thing. She says she found the amphibian halfway through her meal at the Burger King at the Hague Central train station. I stood up and screamed the place upside down, she told the paper, although it didn't do much good.
I'm sorry, but what was the newspaper?
This is the Elmamine Dagblad.
Is that like a paper written and run by Yosemite Sam?
It probably is, yeah.
All right. The Daily Rackafrats.
Well, the company spokesman said the fact is...
Rackafrats, that's funny. I'm fine. Sarah's not even listening anymore. Eyes glazed over.
You've just been giving us too much information in the past few minutes.
Yeah, we're in overload.
We just want to sit back and talk nonsense.
Can't we just sit here and just get paid?
Are you just still burned out from yesterday?
Kind of. Well, I haven't been up since 4:30.
Oh, yeah, you had therapy today.
I did.
How was it?
I had to cut it short because I kept coughing and I couldn't really talk.
All right. You didn't have to cut it short because there was awkward sexual tension in the room. I'm just asking before the guy emails in and asks. You know that's what he wants to know.
No, but she did get blonde highlights just like me.
Yeah.
Would you guys like to hear the end of the Dagblad story?
Guys going to go walking dogs together now? All right. Yes, please finish the Dagblad story.
Well, here's the problem.
Dagblad, rat it.
The Burger King spokesman said, the fact is, the process of how we prepare our salad is not possible for a frog to survive. You see, any frog would have been killed by dicing of leaves or refrigeration, and certainly by suffocating in the bags.
Oh.
Frog dicing.
So, okay. It couldn't have happened.
All right.
Meanwhile, a man who stepped a dead mouse in his Taco Bell burrito in a botched extortion attempt was sentenced to 30 months in prison. Why, that's longer than panty thievery. Ryan Goff.
That's longer than the person who hit Sarah's car will get.
Oh, that's true, too.
When is that? Is that June 28th?
Yeah, June 28th.
Oh, we got to get, not, in another reality that's not this one, in a show that is...
Hands across the courthouse.
And similar to, but legally distinct from ours, we got to get that case number, because I got a man on the inside.
I know.
I got a mole who will give us exactly the court time. Oh, really?
Yes.
You've been in cop? Okay, I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
All right.
What are we doing?
I don't know. Let's stop now.
We got about three or four things going on here at once. Kind of a pick and choose thing. Nothing is ever completed.
This is like when you have like seven windows open on your computer. You're trying to do that while balancing your checkbook, and plus you're playing the zither with your toes. Mm-hmm. Rick, this email says, I'm waiting for a bill in the Senate to be named after Crapo and Akaka, who is apparently a senator from Hawaii. By the way, I was at the Hawthorne Bridge. Listen to this. I was at the Hawthorne Bridge event yesterday, Horns Across the Hawthorne, with my 19-year-old son. Greatest thing ever. P.S. Yesterday was my birthday, honest. And you provided me with a great birthday experience. So good, I've decided not to eat your soul. Also,
focus on the family.
Did you see the... See that woman, Debbie, who was there yesterday? Debbie, she used to come. She's come as a schoolgirl in the past. It's awkward, too, because this woman, Debbie, who many of you know, she's been one of the women who's come as a schoolgirl many, many, many times in the audience. But she's there with, like, he must have been, like, 14, 15. They were talking to us afterward, and she's, like, she's told, I mean, she, you know, it's the MILF thing. She's totally just this hot older woman, and she's always...
Is she a school teacher by any chance?
No, she's not, but she's always dressing up in, like, the mini skirts and, like, the cleavage. She's always dressed up as the schoolgirl, and then it's like she's there with her 15-year-old son, who's, like, just sitting there in a black trench coat, just angry. But sitting there, stupid everything, mom, horns, air.
I wish I was home on MySpace right now.
Yes, seriously. It's gonna be a peculiar feeling. You're some angry, seething child in a black long trench coat, and your mom is there wearing fishnets and a schoolgirl outfit. That's a whole lot of weird family energy. Okay. Let's see. What else am I... let's see. We've got the... Well, let me read one more email here. And then we will do the Rickles tickets. And then we'll try to do the top five. Then we'll try to get the Marky Ramone thing. Let's see. Rick, have you noticed that picture of everybody throwing up the devil's horns on your site? There's a sign that says stop here that includes an illustration of the devil horn. And it is all about the power and glory of the Rick Emerson Show, by the way.
It's imagery.
It is. It's
That's our MySpace picture.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. All right.
Pick another
I don't know. I just had an airlock in my head there for a minute. I didn't know what we were doing.
We're going to do Rickles.
Let's give away Rickles tickets right now. It's 503-733-2970. Don Rickles. You can find out more at ChinookWinds.com. Don Rickles is going to be at the Chinook Winds Casino this coming Friday and Saturday. Tim and I will be there.
Yes.
We're going to see the Saturday show. This coming Friday and Saturday, we have a pair of tickets. We will now take caller 5. At the 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We got a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles live this Saturday, and that includes buffet, by the way. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take caller 5, and we will give you your choice of contests. We will give you two contests from which you may choose. And you got to be able to go on Saturday. Don't be calling them, like, win the tickets, and then you say you can't go.
You have plenty of time to get there. It's a weekend.
Trying to exchange them for cash value or something.
Scalping.
Yeah. All right, then call it line 1.
Michael.
On 1, okay. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. How
are
you doing?
I am doing fantastically. Were you at Horns Across the Hawthorne, Michael?
I unfortunately had to work.
What kind of job do you have?
Carpet.
I'm sorry?
Carpet
cleaning?
Carpet repair.
All right. Excellent. All right. And so should you win these tickets, are you able to go on Saturday?
I am able to go on Saturday.
Fantastic. All right. I'm now going to give you your choice of contests. You may either play When I Was a Boy, or you may play Spot the Fake Ramones song title. Which do you choose? Choose and perish.
When I Was a Boy.
All right. So here's the thing. I am going to give you a subject. When the music starts, you must freestyle for 60 seconds. You must speak for 60 seconds about that subject, starting with the phrase, When I Was a Boy. Are you ready? Do you understand?
I'm ready.
All right.
Yes, I understand.
All right. 60 seconds, you must freestyle. Starting with, when I was a boy, the subject is television. Go.
When I was a boy, television actually had meaning. People died in quicksand. People fell downstairs. None of this reality crap. They also had awesome game shows. And Price is Right, the guy was actually young. He actually had hair, and his hair actually matched.
He wasn't that young.
And the girls were actually hot instead of the fake ones now. And when I was a girl, Captain Kangaroo was on, and Mr. Rogers was on. And that was our education. Not some talking gay puppets.
You got like 30 seconds left, dude.
Well, sorry, I started cracking up. And when I was a boy, TV didn't have all those commercials, wasn't trying to sell us. We actually had mudslinging elections. We had news that was news, not fluffy animal stories and car crashes. Well, also, cartoons were awesome because cartoons were not cartoons like today. Cartoons actually looked fake.
All right, there you go. That's
those were vivid memories.
60 seconds. Boy, there were a couple moments. You were like a car sputtering on an upward hit, upward incline.
You couldn't figure out if it was a man or a woman.
You were like in a bad cabriolet.
You know, you referred to yourself as when I was a girl, right?
Did he say that?
Yes. He really said that.
Something you'd like to share with the class, Michael?
Huh, I said that?
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll let you in anyway.
I got to go talk to a therapist.
Seriously, I think Sarah can point you in the right way for some therapy, yeah. All right, so you have won a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles at the Chinook Winds Casino this Saturday. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold. And don't forget, you got to pick up those tickets at our other branch, which is at 2040 Southwest First. Do not come to the Coin Tower. Or Carol at the front desk will punch you in the face repeatedly. So I'm going to put you on hold. Sarah's going to get you information. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, and let's go ahead and take a break here. What? The break must be taken here, and no further. And no further.
Hey,
all right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. There you go. Another pair of Don Rickles tickets tomorrow, and another pair on Friday. Coming up later on, we got Marky Ramone, who's going to be joining us. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, sorry I couldn't make it last night. I was taking care of my grandchildren. Saw it on News 12 this morning. So apparently we were on, I guess it was Fox we were on, actually, twice. Actually. Let's see. Rick, I hope Horns Across the Hawthorne went well. I say I hope so because my ride from this hellhole called Aurora bailed on me. Hope it was good anyway. Let's see what else here. We got all of these copies of the Ann Coulter thing, but I have no time. No time. Big grains of salt. What else do we have here? Rick, two things that were great at the Horns Across the Hawthorne yesterday was the TriMet bus honking the horn while going across the bridge. Plus the Coast Guard boat or the fleet boat or whatever it is that raced up to the bridge as if somebody had jumped off. The whole experience was fantastic. Thank you for the memory, Ryan. Oh, this is great. We used to do this thing on the Rick Emerson a long time ago, back on our first year in 98, almost a decade ago now, where we had preferred listener numbers, where it's like this brilliant idea I had that we completely failed to follow through on, where everybody in the audience got an individual number. That we sort of had like a random number generator. And it was like you were listener number 2315 or listener number 190 or whatever. And it seemed like a great idea. And then it was just one of those things that it just all kind of fell apart. Nobody really followed through on it. But now this guy is identifying himself. This is, he's signing himself Horns Across the Hawthorne, number 124. So there you go. At the end, I do remember that, by the way, because right at the end, we were doing that, you know, we were doing that thing where we were just slowly walking off, and there's a huge, was it the Coast Guard, that big orange boat? It's like racing up to the bridge, and Tim, of course, they're all coming to kill us. And so Everybody, it was like in striking distance with Bruce Willis. Everybody thought that we were being rushed by the man. But the man was actually very cool. They were, they did accompany us up to the bridge, and they were a little unnerved because they weren't quite sure what we were doing there at the very beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now do this and go to your personal savior at the City Desk. It's Tim Riley.
Downtown Portland, Oregon. CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Here we're reporting. Well, there's nothing we can do to help you. The bridges are going up and down all afternoon long as these fleet ships come in from all over the place.
Now, do we know, is there a schedule for that, or is it just like an all-day, don't plan on getting anywhere kind of a thing?
Well, there is a schedule, but, you know, they're always late and so forth, so it's going to go on all afternoon.
So don't.
There's no use, really.
Just resign yourself to never being able to leave, ever.
Then the kids are having a parade, and that's going to jam up traffic even more. Oh, then both the Blazers and the Rose Garden are for sale. So bid now. Bid often.
There you go. In case you're looking for that special something that says, I love you next to Arbor Day. All right. Hey, how about this? Subject line of this email. Best potty training story ever. I'll let Tim and Sarah now vote on whether they want to hear this email. Sarah?
It depends on Tim.
I've had enough of children for one day.
We'll move on then. You probably don't want to hear it anyway. Let's see. More talk about the Segway guy.
I didn't see him.
Yes. No, I didn't either, but it is much to my sadness that I did not see the Segway guy there yesterday.
I just pictured Job.
Well, that's the thing. That's why it's going to be difficult to, A, ever see that guy who played Job again, or B, ever see a Segway again, and take it seriously. Rick, I have a still photograph of you doing push-ups. Where should I? The answer is you should send that nowhere.
You can send that to sarahxdillon @gmail.com.
No, you don't need to do
that.
How
about the Portland Art Museum?
Oh, thank you.
For an upcoming exhibit.
It's unimportant. Somebody said, this guy showed me a thing, which I will not forward, by the way, to anyone. Some guy had the video of me doing the, doing the thing. And
actually, if you want to go to one of our, I have it, I think, on my webpage, my MySpace, important. And the Rick Emerson Show.
Is that Marky Ramone calling?
No. It's the one when you're outside. There's the one when you can see Rick with the backdrop of the grassy knoll, and there's the other one at Dante's.
The best part of this, by the way, is last night I was calculating this morning. We're now down to 6 push-ups that I owe you, incidentally. There's only 6 left. So you use those sparingly, because you're not going to be winning any more. I'm going to make my bets very carefully from now on.
I made a bet with you yesterday, and I won.
You didn't? There was no bet made yesterday.
Running to the bathroom.
Yeah, but we didn't bet push-ups on that.
No, we bet all or nothing. Oh, yeah, see, both of them are on there.
Thanks.
There we go.
Yeah, see, the best part, thank you. I'd like to thank, by the way, who filmed those? Wait, who is it?
Well, now they're all hosted by YouTube, so if you look up Rick Emerson push-ups,
they're
all there.
No, you don't need to do that. It's unimportant.
YouTube.com.
Thank you. I'd like to thank, by the way, whoever filmed it, just position the camera just so you get the maximum bald spot exposure. Especially...
It's like bald spot in your butt sticking up in the air.
A bald spot in my butt?
It's not your best angle.
Oh, not in, I thought it was like on my pants. Or that, what
no,
you're talking
you didn't
about
have a hole in your pants.
Okay.
Shouldn't we be speaking with Marky Mark right now?
Ask him to sing Good Vibrations. No, we're kind of waiting on Marky Ramone. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have Tim Riley continue with the City Desk here. We got a break, and we got this Ramone's Top 5 to do. So, Sarah, is it going to be easier for you from your producing point of view if we move this to tomorrow? The Marky Ramone thing. Do you want to call back and just tell them to pull the cord and not worry about it today?
I don't know. The woman sounded a little...
If they've already got it blocked in for tomorrow, though, is my question. I hate to screw with her.
It didn't sound like she really had anything blocked in.
It sounded like it was...
She sounded...
It was all a bit of a surprise to her. Like, maybe she doesn't really work for him. Like, maybe her name is Nico, and she's just some like, rail-thin model that happened to be loitering in the room when the phone rang.
Yeah.
You call her when her website's down and...
Yes, she answered after like 6 or 7 rings.
Hello?
And really, really confused.
Is this Alberta with the pot? Yeah. Well, okay, so the next 25 minutes of this radio program are going to be...
pretty flexible because we have the phone number now. Obviously, that reaches somebody. If they don't call, let's just call them tomorrow at the same time.
So we're going to... Oh, wait, look at that.
Oh.
Phone ringing. All right, hold us listening.
Are you ready, Rick?
Yeah, no.
Are you excited?
No, I mean...
This is pre-Ramone.
I'm not ready at all.
Okay.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
Okay, I'm answering it.
Do you have your papers?
I need your papers.
All right, I'm fine. I'm gonna.
Hello, the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, he sure is. May I ask his father?
Ricky Ramone.
Oh, very nice to hear from you. How are you today? Okay, no, just
it's Dick Giuliano.
He actually asked for you, Rick.
Wow. Fantastic, actually.
By name.
All right, there you go. Well, in the pantheon of rock and roll legends, the name of the Ramones looms large. Ever look, I'm not going to tell anybody anything they don't know. Anybody who knows me, anybody who's listened to this program, anybody who saw Bigger Than Jesus knows that the Ramones had a huge impact, not just on my life, but every whether you know it or not, everybody who has picked up a guitar in the last 30 years has gone through a couple schools of playing before they arrive at whatever their own style is. It used to be that everybody went through the Chuck Berry school of playing. Everybody kind of went through that Eddie Van Halen school of playing for a while. There is a Ramones sound. There is a distinctive sound and style created by, honed by, polished by the Ramones, and their shadow just grows larger with every passing generation. Marky Ramone, of course, was the drummer for the punk rock group The Ramones, and joined on the Road to Ruin album, played on some of the biggest hits, and then rejoined later on in the career all the way through to the end to Adios Amigos. Marky Ramone will be playing at Dante's June 14th. Showtime is 9:30 p.m. and the website is danteslive.com. Touring for his new album, Start of the Century. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Marky Ramone. Marky, hi.
Hello, that was a great intro. How are you?
Can I just tell you this? Normally I try to be a very polished professional. I try to come here and I try to convey information to the people and be a professional, serious broadcaster. But as Sarah, my producer here, will tell you, that it really is a matter today of just not sitting behind the microphone and going, you're a Ramone! It's so great!
He's trying to hold back right now.
I'm trying not to sound like a giggling idiot fanboy because, you got to get that all the time. I mean, if I was a Ramone, I would stand in front of the mirror all day looking at my driver's license, back at the mirror. It's like looking at, it's like being Hugh Hefner. You just look at the mirror and go, I'm Hugh Hefner.
He actually wrote a song about wanting to be a Ramone as well.
I've actually written songs about wishing to be a Ramone. It is, let me ask you this, just to go way back, and then we'll talk, about what you did with Ramones, and then we'll talk about Start of the Century, which you're going to be coming here to support. And by the way, anybody out there, you got a question from Marky Ramone, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Long story short, how does one become a Ramone? Did the clouds part and, like, the hand of God came down and said, you shall be known as Marky Ramone? How did that happen?
Well, Tommy Ramone, it was a good friend of mine, and he was leaving the band in 77, late 77, and he approached because he wanted to produce. So he asked me to join the band, and officially in, I think it was April of 78 or March, I joined the band, and all because of that reason, and I just ended up being with the band for 15 years off and on. So that's how simple it was. We all knew each other because I was with a band called Richard Hell and the Vortoids, who was on the same label as the Ramones, which was Sire Records. So we all kind of knew each other from hanging around CBGB's and another club called Max's Kansas City. So that's how I became a Ramone. I didn't want to change my name to Ramone in the beginning, but then I realized that it flowed better to keep it Marky instead of Mark. My grandmother used to call me Marky, so I figured, okay, then why not? You know, so that's how it started.
And you are, as they say, New York. You were from the neighborhood. You're from Brooklyn.
Oh
right?
Yeah. They're from Queens. I'm from Brooklyn. That's about 3 miles away from Brooklyn. Manhattan's about a half a mile away from Brooklyn, and so is Queens. You just go over the bridges, and you're there. And the watering hole was CBGB's for all of us.
Do you think it's, you guys, being such a band that is closely identified with New York, and in fact there is now in front of CBGB's, here's, what is it, it's Joey Ramone Way, or Joey Ramone, Place? Joey Ramone Place.
We went to the city, everybody here, and they agreed to do it, and that's what it was. They changed the street and put up Joey Ramone Place right next to CBGB's. It's about 100 feet away, CBGB's, from that street.
A couple years back, you put out a DVD. It was called Ramones Raw, and it's a lot of footage of the Ramones all over the world. It's strange because you guys, again, are so closely identified with New York, yet you listen to the Ramones, and maybe a lot of people maybe don't really appreciate this. It is such a... It's such a California sound, almost, in so many ways. It's almost like the Beach Boys sort of put into a blender and just made three times as fast and 10 times as loud. Was that intentional? Was it what you guys listened to that gave it that sound?
When we were kids, we liked the Beach Boys. We liked Jan and Dean. We liked the instrumental surf sound. We liked Phil Spector stuff. We liked the British Invasion. So what we did was we just mixed it up, and that was the omelet that came out, the Ramones. And we obviously, back then, they didn't have big Marshalls. So we sped up the songs a little bit, counted them off, 1, 2, 3, 4, one after another. And that's basically our influence. The Ramones are basically an oldies band that was modernized by electricity and powerful amplifiers. So that's really what we were.
And I don't think a lot of people a lot of people are so familiar with the band in terms of iconography. In other words, even people, they know the black jackets, the white shirt. They know that logo.
Right, right.
And you go back, and those are just really great classic. And when I mean classic, I mean they sound like a classic American rock and roll. But as you said, it's louder, and it's faster. And your first album with Ramones was Road to Ruin, if I'm correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, I mean, you look at that album right there. It is staggering when you look through the Ramones discography. And there is just that album alone, this I Want to Be Sedated.
Yeah.
And Questioningly, and I Just Want to Have Something to Do. Did you guys know when you recorded these albums? Because I think critical and commercial respect, I think, was a little later in coming than it should have been. Did you guys know when you were recording these that this was music that was still going to be having an influence or stand up? Did you even think about it at the time?
No, we just went in, did the songs. I did about 2 takes on each song. The first song I recorded was I Want to Be Sedated. But no, we had no idea. What was happening at the time was this huge stadium rock with 10-minute guitar solos and, 10-minute drum solos. And what was going on was you would buy an album, and there would only be 3 songs on each side.
Absolutely.
So that was the problem, and we were pissed off about that, because you were losing the essence of rock and roll, and that's what Jerry Lee Lewis was about, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Elvis Presley, and all those great guys who started it, and it was disappearing because rock was starting to fuse. You had jazz rock, blues rock, the essence was gone. So when the Ramones' first album came out, it's all really what we wanted to do was to do 2-minute songs, relate to a youth, and that was the outcome.
We're talking to Marky Ramone. He's coming to Portland, by the way, on June 14th. New album out called Start of the Century. And when you did you feel a lot of pressure stepping on to that drum stool after Tommy Ramone? Were you nervous about that, or did you feel like, hey, man, I can do this? I was born to be a Ramone.
Well, I knew the style already from hanging out at CBGB's and going to the shows. It really was just eighth notes all around, and Tommy, along with Johnny and Dee Dee, created that style. I stepped in and kind of made it a little heavier, a little more fuller. Tommy did a great job, but he wanted to produce, so they needed someone. So what I did was I got a tape of 45 songs. 30 songs of their live show and 15, I think, for Road to Ruin, or 14. And I had to learn all those songs in 2 weeks, and I had to be ready in 2 weeks to record Road to Ruin. So they had all these shows booked, and I just sat there on a drum pad, headphones, through a cassette deck, and played about 7 hours a day until I got it down. And then we started rehearsing in the studio, and then that was it.
We're talking to Marky Ramone. We're talking about the production techniques, and then, you know, because one of the reasons that Tommy, when he left the group, it was to take a firmer hand in production. And then you were there for what a lot of people consider a definitive, or at least a landmark album, which is End of the Century, produced by Phil Spector. And tell me a little bit about, because you hear, I mean, let's be blunt about it, you hear so much about how Phil Spector was just crazy. He was a loon. And it's so hard to separate myth from reality. You hear about him waving a gun. They're making people do 500 takes of a song. Was Phil Spector, was he that kind of nutty, or is that hype?
Well, he didn't do that to us. We came from the same neighborhood. He was from Brooklyn in the Bronx, and I was from Brooklyn, and they're from Queens. Kind of all knew our vibe. He's a great friend. Joey loved him. I love him. And Johnny and Didi couldn't deal working with him because he worked slow. The Ramones worked fast. But Joey and I understood that this is a master producer, the best there ever was in America, the most legendary. And, you know, he had guns. He had a license to carry, and he would wave them around. But he would never point them at anybody. And he liked to indulge in drinking, and when he did that, he got a little off, and that was probably the reason. But he was eccentric, and that's what happens. But we did an okay album, and he's still around today. Hopefully, he gets to his justice because of his court case. And I hope that, he's able to do something in the future. But no, a lot of the things that were said about him might have happened with other people, but not with us. I didn't see that. He didn't lock us up in his mansion.
You weren't like Ronnie Spector being kept in a dungeon somewhere in the basement.
We left any time we wanted. He was just having fun. We were just listening to the playbacks of the End of the Century album when we did it. And we would add a 3-4 in the morning. That's really all it was.
What did you think as a guy who, you know, you're in the Ramones, you're there. He's talked about the first song recorded with them was I Want to Be Sedated, which is great, very stripped down, a legendary one-note guitar solo. What did you think the first time you're there in the studio and they're playing back that End of the Century stuff and it's like on Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio? Where it's this huge, monstrous sound. At any point did you think, like, this is not going to, people aren't going to like this, it doesn't sound like the Ramones? Did you guys worry about that?
Well, what we were listening to back was the basic tracks of just the Ramones. That the other overdubs weren't even on yet.
Right.
We heard that later on. Me and Joey were very thrilled because it was basically our wall of sound and Phil's wall of sound. So it was a different album. It was an experiment. It came out good. I appreciate the album a lot more now because of the song selection. There's good songs on there. Did I like it as much as Road to Ruin or Rocket to Russia when it came out? No. But as time goes by, I realize what the intentions were, and it worked out pretty well.
Do you think that there's the documentary, the same name, End of the Century? Do you think that the rest of the band or the individual members have been? Do you think they've been shown fairly? I mean, I guess we're talking about Johnny here. A lot of that Johnny sort of gets depicted sometimes as being a real hard nose, you know, and a real hard ass about things, and maybe not the easiest guy in the world to get along with. Do you think that that's the media looking for something that wasn't there, or do you think that that's, you know, what was there that kind of tension that kept the band going?
Well, End of the Century basically is one director's point of view. He put in basically the negative side of it, but the Ramones were a lot of fun. We wouldn't have stayed together 22 years. John, it was good that he was like that. Him and Joey didn't talk for 18 years because of a girlfriend. And me and Didi were the best of friends. But, he could be hard. He never came off hard to me about it, but he knew them when they were growing up. So who knows what, you know, you're 13, 14 years old, what happened as young teenagers. You could harbor resentments towards each other and never let it go. So that could have, went over or spilt over into the Ramones when they got together, you know. But, we were all different individuals.
Yeah.
Joey was the front man, quiet guy, very introverted. Didi was a whirlwind hurricane. I mean, the guy just couldn't sit still. He was a riot. And I was there in the middle all the time trying to keep Joey and Johnny from, killing each other and, just trying to, ease the pressure of the animosities that sometimes came along.
We're talking with Marky Ramone. The website, by the way, is dantesLive.com. And do you have a website of your own?
Yeah, you can go to Ramones.com and click on Tamaki, or you can go to MySpace, Marky Ramone, you know.
And you've got to tell me a little bit about Start of the Century. You're coming to town on that, and it's this is a two-disc set, and I know there's some originals, there's some classics, there's some covers. Tell me about Start of the Century.
After the Ramones broke up, I had all these songs that I wrote, and I wanted to record them. So I was very impulsive and recorded them, a good quality on a 24-track analog equipment. And the record companies that was suggested to me weren't the right companies to distribute this kind of music. So I recorded the albums. There's 29 and 30 songs that are recorded in the studio on Start of the Century, and now I own the rights to them. Luckily, I just put them out, and that's the result, that album. And it's two albums on one disc, but it took 8 years to get the rights back. The live show was done in Mexico through a mobile unit, and a lot of Mexican people don't understand English. So I would talk into the mic, and every little thing that I said, they would clap to. if I would have said I had to go to the bathroom,
they would applaud.
They would have applauded and clapped. There was a mic over the audience with a wire that was just hanging in the middle of the Hard Rock and the festivals. So what you get there is just the passion of the Mexican audience. Really, really liking the show, which is we did about 28 songs, but on the disc there's 18 Ramones songs. But in the live show that I will be doing, I'll do about 28 Ramones songs.
Fantastic. The album is called Start of the Century. The website is DantesLive.com. You can go to Ramones.com. I mean, so much more to say. You're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You were on Don't Worry About Me, which was Joey's posthumous album, which is great.
Thank you.
It is. You know, it's kind of the Ramones world, my friend, and we're just living in it. So
I hope to see everybody come out, and I hope to see you there.
I will absolutely be there. The Rick Emerson Show. We are big Ramones fans, all of us here.
And it's the 30th. Also, it's the 30th anniversary of the first album that was released. So I figured it was good to come out and do some songs for everyone, and I enjoy playing them. And You know what it is? They're too good not to be played.
Truer words were never spoken, my friend. Marky Ramone. Marky, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And we will definitely be there on the 14th at Dante's. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks. All right. There you go. Marky Ramone, ladies and gentlemen. Man, can't get any better than that. It's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this to wrap it up. Like us next at AM 970, Solid State Radio. One step closer to being able to die happily. I was trying so hard. Did you hear Ramone?
You did a good job.
That was excellent.
I tried to sound professional.
And you did.
All right. So there you go. Marky Ramone. That's pretty damn cool is what that is. All right. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Let's see here. We got the... This email says, Don Rickles, Dixie Chicks, the Ramones. Kind of a hell of a show you're running there. No, it's true. Diversity on your AM dial. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We got Lycus coming up at 3, world famous Phil Hendry. Now I'm not nervous during the interview. Now I'm all nervous. Like, I talked to Marky Ramone. It could have gone so wrong.
But it didn't. It was perfect.
No, man, how cool was that guy? How just down to earth was that guy, man? Because
he was really cool.
It's so easy to look at something like Start of the Century, you know, where he's covering Ramone songs and he's doing whatever and just go, well, that's whatever. But you know, when he's just like, the songs are too good and not to be played. Like, how can you argue with that?
It's like speaking over the picket fence to your next door neighbor.
Yes. from everybody at the Ramones family, too. All right, no time. Big grains of salt. I got to quit saying that. I don't have time to do anything else. No time for the Ramones top five, actually. Maybe I'll try to squeeze that in tomorrow. We've also got Condoleezza Rice's top five favorite songs of all time. I swear to God it's true. Tim found it. Tim found it. Condoleezza Rice's top five favorite songs of all time. You'll never guess. Should we get that? I keep thinking tomorrow's Friday, but
it's not. No, it's only Thursday.
So, the entire week I was scheduling a meeting for a Thursday, and I'm like, I can't do it today.
So I'm like, we'll never have any time. Okay, so maybe Ramones tomorrow, Condoleezza Rice Friday. I think there's diversity on your AMA.
That's reasonable.
Okay. Tomorrow, Jen Lane will be here, and Sean Couples keeps making these noises about roller derby girls being in the studio tomorrow.
They were supposed to be there last night, too, and they didn't show.
Damn roller. That's the problem with roller derby girls. They're unreliable. So perhaps tomorrow, and then Friday, of course, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. So there you go. All right. So thank you again to everybody who came to Horns Across the Hawthorne last night. The official pictures are on the way. Check out the website now and all of our MySpace sites. Find out more. Go to rickemerson.com. Look on the right-hand side. You find the links to all the MySpace pages. Thank you to everyone who came to Horns Across the Hawthorne. You are, once again, best audience ever, only in Portland freaking Oregon would this be possible, my friends. So you are all fantastic. We love you all deeply. Gropingly. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio News Director Tim Riley. Thanks to Marky Ramone, Gary Baumgartner, and all that. See you tomorrow. Don't let the bastards grind it down. Thank you for listening. See y'all later. Bye.